Warning. Warning.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
One angry New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show, determined to piss the world off by shoving a mirror in front of society's face. He kicked them in the balls.
What are you? Who are you?
This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Crotch Shot Radio Show.
This is not a test. This is a broadcast transmission.
We're going to stay on the air.
And now, the Whippy. The Whippy.
Welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We are on an active war against bullshit. We would do anything and everything to expose bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the memes. So if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in and prepare to be shocked. This is Smash Mouth Talk. If you can't accept it, then fuck off. I'm your host, Louis B. I takes no bullshits from nobody's. Actually expose the bullshit of society and chop it up into easy to digest chunks for you. Today won't be any different. Today we're going after Kamala Harris, or as I like to call her, Kamikaze Harris, because she's going to crash and burn. She just recently said that she wants to run, that she announced that she's running for president in 2020, part of the 20 billion Democrats that are going to be running against 45 next year. So I have a gentleman who had some words for her on his Instagram account, and that's why we have him on. But before that, let me properly introduce him.
Ladies and gentlemen, present to you motivational speaker, artist, activist, one of the most Wakandan brothers I have ever seen. Introducing Yarima Karama.
Ah,
hey,
I love it,
brother.
Yes,
thank you for that awesome intro.
Yes,
even though I'm undeserving of such an intro, but I appreciate you.
You know, look, I like to make everyone feel welcome that comes on the show. I mean, you were gracious enough to come on, so it's the least I can do to and give you a proper introduction.
I appreciate it, and thank you for having me on. I mean, you know, it goes both ways. I always take these things serious. Whenever a platform is provided, I appreciate the work that you're doing because you're providing people with no voice to have a voice, and that's important because we know we get these fake ass politicians in front of us. They put them on the CIA infiltrated news media, mm-hmm. television. And, you know, then we always kowtow to them when they should actually be kowtowing to us. So I thank you, Louis B., for the work that you're doing.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you. Well, let's get into it. I mean, the reason why I wanted you to have you on, because I saw your video being shared on Facebook, which got me searching for you on Instagram. You went after Kamala Harris, and you know I wanted to go after her as well. I wanted to expose her, and it seems like no one is with the shits. I mean, you know, I wanna play the video with that she did, the interview she did on the Breakfast Club earlier this week, and no one, all the comments were not in support of her. She got no love in these streets. Like,
yeah, and I, you know, I think that that's just an awakening. People are tired of BS, and particularly with the politicians. And I always say that, you know, the political game is like watching a tennis match.
Yeah.
And if you really look back historically, you know, it goes back and forth. Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican. And we get that back and forth. And whether it's a four-year term or an eight-year term, it's that back and forth. And then we come. Then I think that there's a part of us that is starting to realize and awaken to the fact that, you know, even though there's a lot of people that still engage in the political process and they want to believe in it, I think more people are starting to wake up and realize, wait a minute, these two parties are birds of the same feather. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's really no separation, but they give the mirage of separation, but there's really none.
Well, I have to ask this question then, because, you know, I do support 45. Let's just, you know, just to be, you know, transparent. And the reason why I do is because I see all these people, all these politicians that we all know are fake and corrupt and bought and paid for attacking him. And you see, you know, some of the good that he has tried to push and try to get past, like the prison reform bill that would actually help people of color.
Yeah.
You know, not even Obama got, you know, pursued that. I mean, and, you know, and people still love Obama for, you know, I've heard him being called the Black Jesus, even though I do believe Jesus was already black. But, you know, that's a subject for another.
I mean,
at the very least, the man was tan. I mean, he was my complexion at the very least.
Yeah.
At the very least. I mean, I don't see Jesus rocking around, you know, in the desert or the wilderness in Israel, or, you know, blonde hair, blue eyed, you know, fair skin. I mean,
it wasn't happening. Yeah, like you said, Louis B, that's a whole other story. Yeah. But yeah, it wasn't happening like that.
But I mean, you see that. I mean, with Kamala Harris, let me read some of these comments from the video on YouTube here. Didn't she back cops not being investigated and against body cams? Damn, yes. She got high and heard Tupac and Snoop before they even came out. Must have been a strong joint. If I remember correctly, she even kept innocent people in prison.
Yeah. The one, and that's where, I guess that's where the rubber meets the road for me. I put her on blast, and it was interesting to watch her on the Breakfast Club talk about, and I didn't watch it. I watched snippets, because there's no need in watching a liar. We've been lied to all of our lives by all these politicians, but, she talked about prison reform, and I found it interesting because they asked her, well, if you became president, what would be the black agenda? And they used that term, I believe Charlemagne used it specifically, what would be the black agenda? And she went through a litany of HBCUs, making sure that there's more availability to HBCUs, which HBCUs are government funded.
What are HBCUs?
Historically black colleges and universities.
Okay.
So she talked about that, which to me doesn't even equate. When we talk about, particularly when she mentions black agenda, HBCU, that's not even at the top of the scope of anything. She also talked about, this Lyft plan that she has, which would be something similar to reparations, but she couldn't give any detailed analogy of what those reparations would be.
Yeah.
But she talked about some Lyft plan. And then she also talked about prison reform. And when I heard that, my ears perked up, because at the end of the day, this bitch was, she was a prosecutor, a DA, and an attorney general in a state, in a whole state. Like, you know, if you were going to do any type of prison reform, particularly in California, like, that was the place to do it. And I compared her to the young lady out in the DA that was out in Baltimore, Maryland, that actually tried to do something. She tried to, well, they indicted the cops, even though they were found innocent, for the Freddie Gray murder. Oh. But she went after, that DA went after those cops. And she got ostracized for it in the system. I mean, and to the point where they started filing lawsuits. The cops that won their cases going through trial who got acquitted, they were filing lawsuits and that sort of thing. But Kamala didn't do none of that. But now she wants to come out and perpetrate a fraud to the people and make it seem like she's Wakanda. FOH, man. FOH. They got a brother on death row that judges are even saying this dude should not be in there. She wouldn't even look at his case. She wouldn't even look at it until it went viral. You're talking about an innocent man who could potentially be killed. And when you go into the details of that case, no DNA evidence, and he was asking, give me the DNA. I did not do it. There was so much evidence that was in his favor that even judges were saying, hey, this, we got an innocent man sitting here on death row. And you want to be president? And you couldn't even look at that? And then you want to talk about prison reform? FOH. I'm not having, yeah.
Well, I mean, I watched the whole thing, and I was just listening to her tone. And even her tone just sounded fake. Like, it sounded like she, you know, she was, oh, God, what's that word? Where you're patronizing someone. That's not the word I'm looking for, but... You know,
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
You know, you try to sound sincere, but you're not sincere. I mean, I mean, Charlemagne, or as Miss Monique called him, Leonard.
exactly.
Leonard. He tries to come off as an intellectual, but especially during the Donkey of the Days. He gets things wrong a lot of the time. It seems like he doesn't do much research. And they were just basically kissing her ass, just throwing softball questions at her and just not challenging her.
Right.
They only got close to challenging her once, and they just let her squeak by with a lousy, with the whole basic, haters gonna hate type response. And I'm like, you're not going to pursue that? None of y'all did any research? You're just having her in for the clout?
Exactly. And then Charlamagne made this stupid-ass comment at the end talking about, don't believe what you're seeing online. So basically trying to, it was a protective thing, but it was also to render doubt in the minds of the listeners and viewers. And people weren't going for that BS. But I remember specifically at the end, he was like, don't believe what you read online. Do your own research. There's been things going around online. And I knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Because I know my look it up segment that I did has been circulating. Like there's been so many people that have inboxed, like, yo, thank you. And I know that's kind of went viral. So I knew what he was saying. And it's like, no, dude, no. She's the epitome of scum. She's the epitome of scum. I'm sorry. And they all are. They all come at the end of the day when they want something.
Yeah.
But again, I have to remind people that she was a DA. She had a chance to make a change. Like, there were people don't remember the 600 cases that were dismissed because of a lab technician that she had the ability to prosecute that she refused. And the judge was like, no, wait, hold up. They had to dismiss 600 cases because this lab technician was messing off evidence. And Kamala was there. She knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. She refused to prosecute those within the prosecutor's office for things such as prosecutorial misconduct. The things that can actually send innocent people to prison, she did not want to contest that. She did not want to do her job. And I think that that's important because from a policy standpoint, and just taken away my total dislike for her because of her stance on prison and the number of innocent men and women that are probably sitting locked up because of her office. But taken away from that, we can gauge what her political agenda would be. We can kind of get a gauge of what it would be like just by her time as a DA and her time as an attorney general. Lord forbid what type of attorney general would she pick. You know, and they all get in there and they talk that mess. Obama talked a good one. I remember the video, and I did a segment of it. They had a video, and I wish I could get an interview with this young woman. But they showed her at the start of the Obama campaign. And when he first went into office, and she was in tears, crying tears of joy, so happy, first black man to make president. Oh, my goodness. He gave all these promises of what he was going to do. And then at the end of that 8-year term, they showed that young lady again, and she was crying. But these weren't tears of joy. These were tears of her being let the fuck down because she thought that we had something coming. She thought that this man was going to get in there and make some changes, and she had to come to the false reality or the real reality that he's a politician. They're no different than car salesmen. They will tell you what they need to tell you to get into office, and then when they get in there, their allegiance is to big business, big corporations, and lobbyists.
I mean, yeah.
Now to Trump.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say this.
Be real. Go ahead. Be real. Be as honest as possible.
I don't vote. I don't vote, Louis.
Okay.
I don't vote. But I will say this, and we've talked about, I got a segment on YouTube called Real Life, Real Talk. It's Brother John and myself. And we talk about global aspects of politics, the global ramifications. And I'm still trying to figure out because I already know what the Democrats, all of them, I know what their agenda is. Their agenda is to bring around their agenda and push. And they were hoping to do it with Hillary Clinton, and they couldn't get her in. Thank goodness, because then we would have all really, well, I wouldn't have, you wouldn't have, but most people would have really been rocked to sleep then. But they're trying to push that globalist agenda. Yeah. I'm trying to still figure out if Trump is trying to shut the door on that globalist agenda. I mean, when we talk about walls going up now, I mean, the way he's putting it in the context, I might not like. But at the end of the day, globalists don't want walls up.
No.
They don't want the walls up. They don't want culture. They don't want individualism. They don't want rule of law for different countries.
No sovereignty.
Everything. They're trying to push the one world order.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Trump is with them, but I'm still tossed up about that because there's some things that he does and I say, damn, okay, he's against the globalists. Then there's some other shit he does and I'm like, ah, damn.
Yeah, I mean,
can't say that. He might be on team globalization. I don't know.
I mean, the thing that bothers me is that he's been capitulating a bit much lately. I mean, I swear they're lucky that I'm not president because I would have been saying all this foul shit and not giving a fuck. And just I'll be saying your mama jokes about Hillary like real quick. That's how, you know, I'll be messy.
Right.
I'll be president messy. But it's Trump, with Trump, if enough of us like light a fire under his ass, he tends to do what we want. He tends to accomplish what we want. The thing is, you know, I think a lot of us have fallen asleep and started resting on our laurels from 2016. And, you know, he's surrounded. I believe that he's surrounded by all these traitors in the White House and that are probably blocking him from actually hearing what the people want to say. So, I mean, I guess either, you know, and that's if he's real. But, you know, what do you think of these other candidates that have come out?
Marianne Williamson, I think, she's talking about, And I'm looking at, I'm going to be honest, just real talk. I'm looking at agendas that specifically are going to directly hit poor black communities. I don't care if the rich, I don't care about an agenda for them. They already got money.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to push their agenda because they got money. I'm looking at some real authentic candidates. The thing is this, though, Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And just real talk, I mean, historically, presidents, and some people think it's just John F. Kennedy. He's not the only one who's been shot.
Yeah.
Presidents who typically go against the grain, something happens to them.
Yeah.
Or they end up dead. And so, there's a slight possibility that when they get in, they have good intentions. But I tend to believe that the secret hand, the secret curtain, that shadow government, they pick and choose. Mm-hmm. And right now, their choice is Kamala. If not, I mean, Cory Booker's on the bill. He's got nothing coming. Mm-hmm. He sold out to Big Pharma. Come on.
Yeah.
You're a sellout to Big Pharma. You know, you could have actually cut prescription drug users or prescription users that have serious ailments. They could have gotten paid 50% less on the prescription drugs that they are getting if they could get them from Canada.
Have you
shot down a bill?
Yeah, I mean, have you noticed that? Have you noticed that these black Democrats? They don't seem to want to get any real change done in the black community. I mean, this is just a pattern that, like, when Cory Booker was mayor of Newark, he got nothing accomplished.
Yeah.
And that's a heavily African America in the city. Nothing gets accomplished. Like, you would think, okay, I've been elected. I'm in power. I could change things for the better for my own people. Nothing. And honestly,
no.
At this point, it seems like a cop out when people say, "Well, you know, you got to play the game," and you know, the white man is still holding us down. It that just seems like an excuse to me.
In that particular instance, I tend to agree because especially in Newark. I've been in Newark several times within just the last couple of months.
Oh, okay.
And there's so many things. Yeah, my organization, the Unity Walk, we've had several Unity Walks up there.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we got another one up there on the 23rd. We got a fundraiser on April 6th up there. And the things that could be accomplished that he could have done, that he hasn't done. And yeah, I know that there might to, when you sit here and you talk about playing the game, I've always said that in order for this system to change, you either have to crush it and rebuild it with righteousness, with righteous people, or you got to get the people in there who really don't care. And they're going to do what needs to be done. And unfortunately, those people are going to end up dead. And Cory Booker has sold out. Kamala has sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala, as a matter of fact, article came out with her ex, who she was having an affair with while he was married, Willie Brown, I believe, who was mayor of San Francisco at the time that they dated. He got her in some positions, said he helped her out a lot. And when they separated, she sent him a message saying that if you sow as much jaywalk, I'll have your ass indicted.
Oh, wow.
This came from him. This is what Willie said. I didn't say that. Uri Makarama didn't say that. He said that.
Mm.
And so, I mean, it's just that kind of thing, man. Like that to me speaks volumes. Like, a person will help you. And not saying that he should have helped with any expectation of return,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, damn, if that's the thanks I get for helping you, like, you use me as a stepping stone to get where you want to go,
mm-hmm.
and it will be the same thing with the presidency. It will be the same thing. And it will be the same thing. She's already shaking hands with Israel. Ah, that's detrimental. It's detrimental. She's already shaking hands with them. So I believe that she's one that they have picked. And You got Elizabeth Warren running. Elizabeth is even talking. She's trying to talk about black issues, making inroads into the black community. Marianne Williamson, she's saying the same thing, talking about $100 billion in reparations, which I'm sorry, that's just not enough. And then she's talking about
Instagram, and you said that it will come out to like 21, around 2100 per person.
Yeah, 22 to 2400, something like that.
Yeah. More if you and you said, "Oh, you get more if you, you know, in tax returns."
Yeah.
I mean, but again, Trump actually signed a bill to help the inner cities rehabilitate, like mostly black neighborhoods to be able to, you know, get loans for businesses and stuff. Yet, you know, we keep hearing the, oh, he's racist, he's this, he's that, but he's actually if he is racist, he's one of the worst racists, that he's actually trying to empower people. Like, you know, and let's say hypothetically, let's say hypothetically he is a racist and he's just doing this as a cover. Mm-hmm. It's still benefiting people. It's still going to benefit people. So let them, like, honestly, I at this point, I don't care if someone's a racist and, you know, in the darkness of his bedroom, he says Louis B's a spick. But if he's doing stuff that helps Louis B, don't mean to talk about myself in third person, but, you know, if he's doing stuff for me that benefits me, that's going to help improve my life and allow me to take care of myself, what the hell do I care?
Yeah, well, I think that, and I've said this a few times, like, everybody's caught up on Trump. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, they're willing to go for anything. And because of their hatred for Trump, do I think he's a racist? Yeah, I personally do. I think, mm-hmm. you know, with the Central Park Five, that whole fiasco, what he called for there. I think he had some real estate practices with some black tenants back in the day that was it just showed racist behavior. Mm-hmm. The premise, and here again, I didn't say it. The lady, her name will come to me in a minute, but she said that, and she's a scholar, she's a professor. She said that all white, and she's a white woman, she said that all white people are racist. So, I mean, and then she backed it up, followed it up by saying, how can they not be? So do I think he's a racist? Yeah, but I also think that we can't be caught up on so eager to want to push him out that we are replacing him with somebody who's going to actually be worse, mm-hmm. but they present themselves as being better. I just don't have any faith in the political system in this country.
Wow.
I really don't.
Yeah.
The political system has really not given any American a need to have faith in it. I mean, to be honest, truth be told, the political system in this country is trash. It hasn't given any American, if they could wake up and see the behind the scenes stuff, they would say, like, WTF.
Yeah.
The only ones that the political system has benefited in this country for a long time has been the rich. Now, they'll pass a bill down here. They'll pass this down here, some trickle down to make you feel like you're getting something. But at the end of the day, the whole system is a farce. It's a sham. Mm-hmm. And now is Trump on globalization, or is he really trying to, you know, do some stuff to shake up? There's been some behind the scenes talk that, hey, man, this dude's really shaking up the globalist agenda. Mm-hmm. George Soros, people like that, the Rothschilds don't really like the dude. He hasn't been to, so the story goes, he hasn't been to Bohemian Grove. So that might be, hey, you haven't, because every president since 1923, every Republican president since 1923 has been there except Trump. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not saying one way or the other, but what I am saying is that
Have you thought
going
about
to the Democratic Party?
Yeah.
Going, there's nobody in the Democratic Party that should get any of our votes. Hmm. Nobody in the Democratic Party. And I would go as far as to say I don't see anybody in the Republican Party that should get any of our votes. We need a revamping of the system, Louis. We really do.
Well, I mean, my first question is, have you thought about having a march at Bohemian Grove?
No, I haven't. No. I really haven't.
That would be hilarious.
Good idea.
You know, just, you know, hang a sign up on the owl.
Right.
Also, oh goodness, what was my second question? I can't believe, goodness, I forgot that, just to get that dumb joke out. I hate when that happens. Oh, well, I mean, there was this guy who was Larry Sharp. He was running for governor. I've had him on my show twice. You know, and he actually, he's a libertarian.
Okay.
You know, and of course, you know, the here in New York, he got blocked to, you know, he wasn't allowed to debate the two Republican and the Democrat candidates.
Right.
So he ended up having a live stream where he responded to the questions, you know, just by himself. It was hilarious. And I voted for him. I mean, libertarianism to me is one of the best ways. Is still the best way, because I mean, really, you it doesn't allow you to rest on your laurels. You have to work.
Yeah.
It makes it easier for us. It just gets government out of our way. It stops with this whole nannying, and I think that's one route to take. I mean, we had a chance with Ron Paul, but people were not ready for Ron Paul. Do you think you think people nowadays, especially in the black community, you think they would be open to going third party and voting for like maybe like a Ron Paul or a Larry Sharp? I don't know if you're familiar with Larry Sharp.
I am. I actually remember that that segment when he was ousted from the debate and did the live stream. I remember that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a great way to buck the system, like for real. F you, if you don't want to have me on, I'll just go to my own platform and do it here.
Yeah.
A guy like me, I can appreciate that. I don't think, not just the black community, but I don't think any community is ready for like when we really think about it, what do we need government for? I think that's the first thing we really need to look at. Like, what do we need leadership in the form of a government for? Like, most people on a daily basis literally manage themselves.
Yes.
They literally don't break the law.
Mm.
I mean, most people on a daily basis are just not lawbreakers. Right. They're not. I mean, so, you know, other than trying to go control some resources overseas or bomb some innocent civilians, I mean, and put a whole bunch of unnecessary money into military spending, what do we really need government for? The other thing that I think the people in this country need to ask themselves, both particularly black people, but also other groups, is why is there literally, and we can argue the point, like, there's, okay, we got the Green Party, we got the Libertarians, but at the end of the day, we literally just have a two-party system, Republican and Democrat.
Right.
And although we might have other people on the ballot, I would challenge every person in this country, if you want to check how the system works, if you want to check and see if the system is working for you, when you go into that ballot room, put down anybody but Republican or Democrat and find out what happens. It's the same thing with the Constitution. If you want to see how the Constitution works for you, use it and find out what happens. The Constitution has been null and void in this country for years now. People still think they have a Constitution, but I think that this goes much deeper than just political party. I mean, this, I think this thing goes to Social Security numbers. It goes to birth certificates. Yeah. It goes to the U.S. being a corporation and being owned since the early 1900s by people that we don't believe own it. I believe that there, you know, the rabbit hole goes deep on this. So I think it becomes deeper than Republican and Democrat. And if they go, if American people go into that ballot, into that booth, don't put Republican or Democrat on. Put anybody on. Write your own name in. But don't put it down and find out what happens.
Yeah, I voted for myself for a Supreme Court judge in New York. Because I wanted to see if my name would pop up in the news, like if it yeah. got counted. Like one vote for Louis B. for... Just for giggles, because I didn't, like, first of all, there were no Republicans, no conservatives, no libertarians running for that. It was just all Democrat or, you know, working families. And it's, I'm like, no.
Right.
No, I'm sorry.
I tell you what, I would much rather somebody of your caliber be in there than who we got in there now. Real talk. I mean, I feel much better with you in there than who we got there now.
Yeah.
Because
my business associate's degree has prepared me for this.
Right.
My business degree from American Intercontinental University Online has prepared me to become a Supreme Court judge in New York State. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you got my vote, man.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Now if I get 17,000 more people, I could do it.
Right. And that's not far-fetched, 17,000. But I think people shouldn't be bamboozled with Kamala. If you watch patterns in politics. So Barack, or Barry as I call him,
Barry's a terrible.
He just kind of came out of nowhere. He had the Democratic National Convention speech in 2004 that kind of put him on the map. And then the next thing you know, he's running. Boom, he's in.
Yeah.
Kamala kind of comes out of nowhere, but then she has the thing with the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, where she's blasting him, and that kind of put her on the map. But then you go deeper down the rabbit hole, and you're like, wait a minute, some of that stuff that you were shooting at Jeff Sessions, somebody in California should have shot at you and had you on the hot seat.
Yeah.
And had your ass sitting in the same position that he was sitting in. Not that I care for Jeff at all, because he's a long-standing racist, but definitely didn't want him as Attorney General or any other general. But
well, he was, you know, disappointing. He didn't do shit. He wasn't willing to do shit. No. He wasn't willing. Like, honestly, because my sister, well, my god sister, she's she's part of the Democratic Black Caucus in California.
Okay.
She went to Philadelphia because she was a delegate for Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
These fucking racist ass Hillary supporting cocksuckers, and I'm being nice.
Right.
Were attacking them. Bunch of, and honestly, I'm probably people gonna get pissed off. These cracker ass, fucking faggoty ass Hillary supporters.
Yeah.
Like they were attacking the black, like a lot of the blacks. Black Bernie supporters, and of course they stole. She stole the election with the help of Donna Brazile.
Donna Brazile, yep.
And
Wozniak or something. Well, yeah. I can't remember her name.
Curly Sue, whatever, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Whatever her name is, I forgot her. Like they're still around. How they not locked up? How is Hillary not locked up for that? Like, how are they getting away with that? No one does nothing. Yet we keep hearing, oh, Russian collusion, Russian collusion, Russian collusion. And it's like, and they the Senate just reported there's no direct link to Russia and Trump.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Now what? Now what? What you gonna do? You're threatening to arrest his sons, his wife, you know, including little Baron. You know, you're about to take away his fidget spinner. Like, you know, what more do you want to do to this man? Like, you're just wasting time. And then, you know, I got people over here in New York, you know, no wall, no USA, no at all. Like, why? Because with your, like, art history degree, you can't find a fucking job outside of Starbucks?
Right.
Like, that's right. That's none of my concern. You should have went and gotten an engine. You should have learned to code. That old joke. Yep. You know, learn to code. You know, freaking put up some shingles or something. Do something worthwhile. No one wants to pay $900 for your finger painting in Union Square. No one wants to buy that shit.
Right. I think with the Russian collusion thing, that has all been a distraction. They've been pushing that, and you know, I knew that pretty much nothing was going to come of that. All the collusion that they've colluded in other people's affairs, they got a lot of nerve. If you ask me, they got a lot of nerve. They didn't collude. They've killed presidents of other countries. Gone in and kidnapped presidents of other countries. So, you know, the nerve to talk about colluding in elections. Come on, FOH. But
yeah,
I do. You know, there was talk that after the new year there were going to be some major arrests. The Clintons were on that list. Obama was on that list. And so this is where I kind of get you know, a little perplexed. Like, okay, is he part of the globalist agenda, or is he really trying to, is he, you know, that one who's trying to break that up? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I do know that there's nobody on the Democratic ticket or the Republican ticket. We have to start looking at other avenues. If people are going to be involved in politics, then they're going to have to open their eyes and say, hey, we're going to have to try something new. Yeah. I mean, fuck, what do you got to lose? Like Trump said, what do you got to lose? I'm not going to be part of the political process. I'm just not, because I think it's a farce. Mm-hmm. But, hey, try the Libertarian Party. Try the Green Party. I mean, goddamn, what is there to lose? You've been going back and forth with Republican. I mean, I think, look, we went from, so they killed Kennedy. Mm-hmm. They knocked Kennedy off. So LBJ. Then after that, who'd you have? Nixon. I believe Nixon came after him, or it might have been one before Nixon. Then you went to Jimmy Carter after Nixon was ousted. Then you went to Jimmy Carter for 4 years. Then Reagan.
It was Gerald Ford, then Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, Gerald Ford. Okay. So you went to Ford, mm-hmm. Jimmy Carter. Then you went to Reagan. You got 12 years Republican with Reagan and Bush for four. Mm-hmm. Then you went to Bill. He got eight. Then you went back to the second Bush. He got eight. Then you went to Obama. He got eight. Now you had Trump. I mean, and so it's, you know, this back and forth. I can't, for the life of me, I can't see how citizens or so-called, unquote, citizens in this country, because that's a debatable issue itself. But I can't see how they can't see this. It's like mind-boggling to be like, yo, and every time it was funny because they just came together on a bill. Like, they can't come together on anything, but they just came together on a bill. What bill was that they just recently came together on? Like, it's not even an issue. They can't come together on anything, but this particular bill, Democrats and Republicans. Oh, I think it was a bill for something dealing with Israel. They came together on that.
What, moving the embassy to Tel Aviv? Or no, to Jerusalem?
No, I'm not sure it was that. It was something else. I can't remember, but I do know that Democrats and Republicans came together like in unison to pass that bill.
Yeah, I mean, my thing,
you can't, but all you my, know, I mean, it's, yeah. it's so it's such a it's they're so phony. Yeah. They're so phony.
I mean, the thing with Israel, because I know you're talking about Israel, but, you know, I got friends in who are Israeli. I got friends who are Jewish. Yeah. You know, and they tell me the same thing. You know, they, you know, we don't need the U.S.'s money. We don't. Mm. They, and my thinking is, if they want to fight so bad, how's about we just stop giving Israel and everyone around them aid? If they want to fight, let them fight. If they want to buy weapons from us,
right.
If they want to buy weapons from us, hey, raise the money yourselves. Give us, you know, hey, more power to us. more power to us. You know, like we should be doing trade with people, but I mean, this aid shit, like let them fight. We're actually paying them not to fight. We're giving aid, how's about you, if Israel feels like they could take on all the Middle East, and hey, if they win, we'll get cheap gas, in theory.
Right.
In theory.
Right.
I mean, you know, Saudi Arabia had a hand in 9/11. How come we're not fucking them up right now?
Mm. Like, yeah.
You know,
well, probably because of that petrodollar still.
Well, hey, we go there, we bomb them to hell. It'll still be the petrodollar, and we'll keep all the wealth. How's that? I mean, you know, you got these Saudi princes pulling shit, killing journalists.
Yep.
They like exactly. What? They choked out one cat. What, over the summer? Or was it, I forget, but he was about to get married and he got choked out in the Saudi embassy? And they were trying to hide
yes.
that? And that
yes.
Wow, I haven't heard nothing from that. I mean, I'm more concerned about the U.S.'s relationship with Saudi Arabia than with Israel, to tell you the truth. Because, I mean, especially with Trump, you know, he's so Khashoggi. That's the guy's name, Khashoggi.
Yeah.
You know,
the journalist.
Yeah. Even Trump.
Yeah.
Even Trump capes for Saudi Arabia, and I'm like, you know, it's like they you know, oh, they we could be paying 50 cents a gallon. If he would cut the bullshit and like really give him what for, we don't need to be paying them all this money. So that way these motherfucking Saudis could have cheetahs in their Ferraris. I want a fucking cheetah in a Ferrari. Where's my fucking pet cheetah? I want. In fact, because I love the movie and I'm all for Wakanda. I want a Black Panther. Give me a Black Panther and a Hummer.
Yeah.
Roll down the window so it growls at somebody that cuts me off.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that is interesting. Mm-hmm. So, three of the major powers in the world. Let's look at if we take the U.S., mm-hmm. China, and Russia. So. Russia literally has like two military bases outside of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one is in Uzbekistan. I'm not sure, but they literally just have two. China, they're starting to make a little bit more inroads, but they only got a few outside of like they do business. They do bartering. They're trying to set up shops in Africa right now,
mm-hmm.
but they, are like an insulated people. They really don't want to be bothered. They don't want people, you know, meddling in their affairs. They don't have a lot of military bases around. The U.S. has thousands around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands. I mean, and so with that, so there's going to be a lot of dispersing of money.
You got a lot. They got a lot of beachheads set up. I think when we go down the rabbit hole, Louis, we have to dig deeper and realize that there's a they call it the triple threat or the pyramid. Rome is the head of it. The city of London is the banking financial institution of it. And Washington, D.C. is the military head of it. And it's funny because D.C., before it was called D.C., I think was called Rome. And so, I mean, we have to really look at this thing. Who's really calling the shots? Is it actually D.C. or is it that shadow government? And is it because even when you look at these, priests, like nobody, these acts of pedophilia against children, they're going unpunished. How does that happen? They should be buried up under the prison. That's the Vatican calling that call.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's
there's
like
still
a,
ties between the U.S. and Britain.
Yeah, that's like a level of trust that's being violated, like really in a very disgusting way. I mean, you're a priest. Yeah. People come to you for spiritual guidance, and you're fucking little kids. I mean, forget being put underneath the prison. You shouldn't be able to make it alive to get to trial to go to prison.
I agree.
I mean, I'm sorry. Totally like, I know this goes against a lot of my libertarian views and stuff, but when it comes to kids, it's guilty till proven innocent.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm sorry, and you know, and the reason why I bring that up because I you know, last week I did a show where I had a guest who's a porn star. She got arrested. She got arrested last week for allegedly, you know, sexually abusing her daughter. And you know, they found a lot of evidence. So I mean, you know, people are getting mad because it's like, oh, you convicted her before anything. I thought it was innocent to prove. I'm sorry. When it comes to kids, you know, people are funny about their kids. You know, and I can't.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, I can't be like, I can't have the luxury of giving someone the benefit of the doubt when it comes to child molestation. You have to be, it better safe than sorry. I mean, if she's innocent, I'll eat some Puerto Rican stewed crow.
Right.
I mean, you gotta flavor it because I don't just put salt and call it a day, white people.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right.
You know, I at least gotta you know get some arroz con habichuela. You know, I gotta gotta spice it up, make it taste good.
It's obvious.
If I gotta eat a fuck, but you know. But if I mean, I doubt she's going to be found innocent because they found a shit ton of stuff. I mean, especially with the illegal guns and the meth. But anyways, but you know, but back to my point, yeah. You know, you can't like these guys. I mean, it's a level of trust that you have when you're a priest, when you're a teacher, when you're a police officer, when you're a parent, you know, when you're a family member. There's a level of trust that certain thing shouldn't be broken. I mean, you know, if a priest was caught having sex with a nun, I wouldn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, let them get married for fuck's sake. Stop doing that to people.
Yeah, that's their business. But children are defenseless, and it's our job as adults to defend. But here's another case in point where Kamala, when you're in a position of power and you're not willing to look at your own constituents, if you're not willing to look at your own constituents and give them the same skepticism that you will give the average citizen, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. And she did that. And so you know, to me, let's say there was an act like you were just talking about, and It happens to be somebody in the prosecutor's office that's friends, or this is some high-level person that's got ties to the... She won't... Kamala won't prosecute that. She'll let that go.
I mean, and I found this article because I was trying to get this other person on, this other porn star on, but her fucking publicist, unless she can get new subscribers to her cam show, she can't come on. Like, even, like, whatever, because she had something to say about Kamala. So, you know what, I just found this article and, you know, whatever. Sex workers say Kamala Harris won't be their woman in 2020. They say she wasn't an ally as a prosecutor in California or in the Senate. Stepping into the already crowded Democrat presidential field Monday, Senator Kamala Harris said she was running to bring our voices together. But some sex workers say they feel the California senator left them behind. Harris' history as the district attorney of San Francisco and attorney general of California has brought criticism from the segments of the left who say she supported the prison system and failed to confront police brutality. But as Motherboard reported on Tuesday, her prosecutorial past has been of special concern to sex workers who feel she trampled over their rights and in the name of curbing human trafficking. Her progressive achievements and championing for the underprivileged are completely overshadowed by her hostile initiatives against sex workers. Lee Jennings, the CEO of online sex worker directory Slixa, told the Daily Beast in a blog post. The company suggested Harris might as well be Trump on the issue of sex worker rights. Much of the concern stems from Harris' recent support of FOSTA SESTA, the 2018 anti-trafficking law that made web publishers responsible for third-party ads for prostitution on their sites. The passage of the law resulted in the shutdown of personal sites like Backpage that sex workers used to advertise their services and screen clients. Where Harris and other proponents of FOSTA SESTA claimed Backpage was complicit in the trafficking of minors, many sex workers argue the site made adult workers safer, allowing them to stay off the streets and out of the hands of pimps. In the months after the law was passed, several major cities said they saw their street prostitution arrests more than double. So, I mean, you know, honestly, I don't know how to feel about this. But, you know, again, as a libertarian, I mean, if you're willing to sell your body and you're two consenting adults.
Yeah.
You know, it's whatever. That's none of my business. But, you know, it's just further, you know, she's not really for people. She's not really, you know, I mean, especially if you're like, oh, well, we worry about women's safety. Well, you know, you push this and, you know, you, yeah. Anyways. Moving on.
Right. Well, I think for the black community, when you get for the black community, it's an even tougher blow because she's claiming black, and because she's claiming now she's putting on this fraud, she's putting on this painting herself as this. You know, I've been through it. I'm black like you. I listened to Snoop and Pac back in the day. So Let's take it there. Let's take it there. If you're black and you know the atrocities that we have been through as a group, and you've been in a position to do something, and you have a system which Michelle Alexander calls the new Jim Crow, the new slave system, the prison industrial complex, and you had a chance to make some changes, and you did not. You did not. You had a chance to make some changes in that system, and you refused to do it. Mm-hmm. That within itself speaks volumes about what you will do as president. You will not do anything for the black community. We will not be part of that agenda. And I think that that has to, people have to start realizing that. Mm-hmm. You know, as a black man, I got partners that's locked up right now doing life wow. sentences. I got a partner right now doing a life sentence. He didn't kill anybody. Didn't murder anybody. Been in since he's young. And I'm sure that there's people in the California prison system. I've talked to some people from San Francisco. Mm. And they say, and they tell me, like, yo, we've been here with her. They were like, we're just glad that you brought it out, but we've been here. And she's been fucking off people in this city. And so, and they put it, and they put it in blatant terms like that. And so, you know, they might not have a voice to be able to voice that. But the people in that community, they know. And so you can't come bringing a fraud now, because people are going to be doing more research in now. Because if Trump hasn't done anything, if he hasn't done anything, he has woken up some people to, like, oh, shoot, let's start doing some research. Let's start really looking things up. Let's start really getting into digging up some information.
Yeah, that internet is a motherfucker, ain't it?
It sure is. Well, see, people, I think people got so bamboozled with Obama, and that was the start of it.
Yeah.
And even though you have a lot of people that believe he's Jesus, this and that, he walked on water, there's a lot that saw the fraud and was like, man, we just got screwed, you know? And so I think, and then when you had, the fiasco, because then everybody wanted to jump on Hillary's coattails.
Yeah.
Hillary. And when that didn't work out for him, which I'm glad it didn't. And I did the same thing with her. I did the same thing. I put her on blast. Matter of fact, I got a YouTube video out where I'm talking about all the bodies. It's three pages of bodies. Like if you or I, Louie, had a suspicion of this many bodies connected to us, we would at least be brought in for questioning. We would at least, at the very least, be brought in for questioning. But we would probably rot in jail. They would find us guilty just on circumstantial evidence. I did a live stream, and I've had this information for years.
They would put us in solitary confinement.
Dead bodies associated with the Clintons.
No, they would, like, you know, being colored, you know, they would do us like they did Browder. Put us in solitary confinement for months and months and months before we even saw a trial, before we even saw a courtroom.
Right,
probably,
exactly.
Probably we even wouldn't even make it to a courtroom, because we'd probably get killed either on the way there or in the prison.
Or in the prison, yeah. They got three pages of bodies. People listening, go on the YouTube video, just punch in Urima Karama talking about the Clintons. Clintons murdering people. And I name all the names, all the associates. Look, gunshot wounds to the head, he committed suicide. How'd he shoot himself in the back of the head, though?
He was a contortionist.
He jumped from 40 stories. I mean, you know, and it was all people that had information, was about to testify or something was about to happen. They were about to go get some information. Boom. Ron Brown, he's on that list. So, I put her on blast.
Mm-hmm.
She lost. You know, she lost. And I was so, and I was like, look, all she was going to do was rock you to sleep. She's pushing a globalist agenda. and she's pushing the globalist agenda. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is, man. These people are frauds. They're frauds. Yeah. And the people just got to wake up and see it for what it is.
Yeah. So, anything you want to promote before we go?
Okay. So I got my book out for people that are listening. My name is Urima Karama. I got my book out. It's called Please, PLEES, not just an acronym, but 5 strategies to success for melanated people. That book just came out. Talking strategies from politics to land to economics to education to spirituality. That's what PLEASE stands for. So you can cop that. You can cop it directly from me, or you can get it through Amazon. For some reason, Amazon, there are some people who have gotten it from Amazon, but others are saying that they're saying that it's going to be 1 to 2 months. I don't know. You might just want to get it from me. You can go on my app. I have an app out, Urima Karama. You can get it on iOS or Android. You go on that app, you can buy the book through there. We have Unity Walks. I am the founder of the Unity Walk. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we are connecting communities around the country. We've had about 20 Unity Walks around the country, from Compton, California, all the way out east, all the way down south to Orlando, Florida, and at ATL, to Dallas, Texas, Houston, Texas. And so we got one coming up this month, Elizabeth, New Jersey. That's going to be February 23rd between the hours of 12 and 4 p.m. at the Miller Center there, Recreation Center. We have a fundraiser coming up April 6th. That's going to be in Newark, New Jersey. And that's going to be between the hours of 1 p.m. and 8 p.m. The Honorable Dr. Leonard Jeffries will be speaking there. The Honorable Dr. Aaron D. Johnson will be speaking. I will be there as well. And we got a few surprises on that. And then we got Unity Walks coming up, Baltimore, Maryland, May 18th. We got a major Unity Walk for the whole U.S., and that's going to be at Kansas City, Kansas, 3507 North 7th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, at Kendaro Ruins. It's a historically black site where the Underground Railroad actually ran through. Mm. That's going to be July 20th, and that's going to run from the hours of 12 noon to 11 p.m. at night. But like I said, that's for the whole U.S., so please support that. Our foundations, you know, all these movements, these grassroots movements, for the people out here really doing the work like our organization, and there's a few others, support these movements. Because we're the ones that are going to keep the checks and balances. We're the ones that are out here on the ground. The politicians, they come out here on the ground when they want to vote, but we're the ones out here on the ground every day talking with the people. We're the ones out here on the ground trying to make sure that, you know, homeless people are getting some shelter in these cold weather conditions. We're the ones out here doing food drives and things like that. So never take the grassroots organizations lightly. Because we do work, but we need, it takes finance to uplift the nation, so we need the finances to help do our mission. And so, and that's just who I am. You want to check out my bio or anything, I'm all up and down online. You can Google me, Urima Karama. And Louis B., thank you for having me on.
Before I can't say that enough. Yeah, before you go, where can people see these dates?
You can see me on my app, IG. You know, I just got my app recently, so I'm working over there a little bit more. Okay. But you can check me. I'm on all the usual suspects, Instagram, Facebook. Everything's up under Urima Karama. My name doesn't change. So yeah. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I'm on Patreon. I'm on Periscope, Black Junction, Melanated Peoples. So hit me up, man. Send the friend request. Let's build. I'm all about building. Mm-hmm. I'm all about networking. And that's what our organization is about as well. So,
right on. So, Urima, yep. Thank you for coming on. In fact, let me play your intro one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, present to you motivational speaker, artist, activist, one of the most Wakandan brothers I have ever seen. Introducing Urima Karama.
Yeah, check out Yirima Kurama on his Instagram. It's spelled Yirima Kurama. Yirima Kurama. It's pretty much spelled how it sounds. So yeah. So don't be a punk ass. Follow him, and if you want to help him out, because I mean honestly, you can't really trust the government to do much. If you really want stuff to get done, you do it. You roll up your sleeves and you do it yourself.
Yes, that's true. We are our best solution.
Mm-hmm.
People need to know that we are our best solution. If we're looking for a solution to our problem, we are that solution.
Mm-hmm.
It's on us to figure it out. If we're waiting on somebody else, if we're going to outsource our problem to somebody else, oh boy, don't get mad at what you get back.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thanks, Louis.
You're welcome. That was Yirima Kurama. We're going to, before we close out the show, I want to play this song by Someday Static. This song's called I Would, and we'll be back to close out the show.
Thank you.
That was Section 8, Someday Static with their song, I Would. Again, I'd like to give a big shout out to Yurima Kurama for coming on. He just proves that direct action, you know, is what helps. We can't rely on politicians. Even Trump, we can't really rely on Trump. We have to, when it comes to politicians, they only get away with shit that we let them get away with. Trump, you know, we need to light a fire under Trump. If that means calling the White House line, sending letters, really tweeting towards him, like, hey, do your job, drain the swamp, build the wall, don't hold back. And also just comes to point, like, if you want something done right, do it yourself. Like Yurima is doing. He's actually going out there and he's trying to accomplish. He is being the change he wants to see in this world. And that's a lesson that we should all take. Because you'll have people like Kamala Harris that will patronize you. That will be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She uses her Puerto Ricanness as a way to get votes. Like, hey, I'm a Latina. You know, stop falling for these identity politics. You know, because if they're not going to have real loyalty to us, we shouldn't have real loyalty to them until they do stuff in our best interest. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to today's show. Come back next week, same crotch time, same crotch schedule. If you want, please add me. Follow me on Spreaker.com. Just search for Louis B or the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Click the follow button so you can be notified when I'm on. Follow me on Twitter at Louis B1, Gab at Louis B1. Most places, most sites, it's at Louis B1. Like Minds, search for Louis B. It's Louis B on Minds, Louis B on MeWe, Louis B on Parlay. You know, I try to. I'm also on Steam It as Louis B. So please follow me. You can follow my videos on DTube there. Just search for Louis B or the Crotch Shot Radio Show and subscribe. And I'm also on YouTube. Just it's youtube.com/the Crotch Shot Radio Show. And subscribe. And yeah. So anyways, this has been the Crotch Shot Radio Show. I have been your boy, Louis B. And as always, from my house to your house, mahalo.
That's the end of my show, donk.
Help the Crotch Shot Radio Show grow and thrive by doing something you already do. Shop on Amazon. Amazon always has great deals for whatever you are looking for. From survivalists and riot gear to Beanie Babies. Next time you're going to shop at Amazon, use my link. The prices stay the same, but I get credit for the sale. Just go to tinyurl.com/LouisB and just shop normally, knowing that you're helping support the Crotch Shot Radio Show. That's tinyurl.com/LouisB.